Asylum. The rusty gates of Blackwood Asylum shrieked in protest as Marcus forced them open. Metallic groan of echoed unsettling in the twilight. Behind him, Liam, the de facto leader, architectural history student, shivered despite the early autumn chill. "Remember the rules," he said, adjusting the headlamp strapped to his forehead. "Stick together, no unnecessary risk. Something feels wrong, we pull out." Chloe, already feeling professional grade camera, scoffed. "Something feels wrong, William. That's when the real fun begins." Eyes bright with explorer's thrill, documentary's hunger. Gleaming over the viewfinder, Sarah, a medical student, with a healthy dose of scepticism, merely adjusted her own lamp, especially in a mix of curiosity and mild apprehension. "Let's just get in, get the shots, and get out before anyone calls the cops." Blackwood Asylum stood like a petrified beast against the bruised sky, its Gothic Revival architecture crumbling in disrepair. 50 years of abandonment had taken its toll, shattered windows like vacant eyes, ivy strangling the stone, palpable air decay that clung the very bricks, legends painted a darker picture, stories of cruel treatments and forgotten patients, a superintendent whose experimental therapies veered dangerously close to torture. Inside, the air was thick, heavy with scent of damp earth, rust and something indefinable, a stale ancient sorrow, dust mites danced in the headlight beams, illuminating purling wallpaper, overturned furniture, ghastly silhouettes of forgotten lives. The main hall was covered with space, its grand suitcase spiraling into shadow. "Impressive, even ruined," Liam muttered, his historian heart captivated. Chloe's camera hummed, catching every detail. Suddenly a strange feedback screeched through her audio recorder. "Do you guys hear that?" she whispered, lowering the camera. "Sounded like a child crying." Marcus of Adeo Devil grinned. "Probably just the wind." And Evie's brother faltered as a sudden icy blast of air swept through the hall, exhausting Liam's headlamp with an audible pop. Darkness clamped down, thick and of loot. Collected grass rose from the group. Liam fumbled for his lamp and then swore, "Matches fine, it's just died." Sarah, unnerved, tried to rationalise. "I'll worry, maybe freak draft." Just then a faint rheumatic trapping echoed from the deeper within the asylum, like a full fist repeatedly striking a metal fabric surface. Tap, tap, tap. "Right, that's not wind," Chloe breathed, her voice tight. They grouped their headlamps, casting nervous circles. Liam, now using his phone's flashlight, led them towards the sound. It led them to patients' wards, labyrinth of long corridors, lined with identical empty rooms. Each door was a liar, revealing a desolate space, a single rusted bread frame. The tapping grew louder, coming from the last room on the right. A veered air grew heavy, pressing down on them, a faint smell. Like wilting lilies permeated the space. Liam pushed open the final door. The room was identical to the others, but in the centre, Charles' worn wooden rocking horse rocked friendly, tapping against the bare floor, despite no visible draught. A small spectral figure, barely more than a shimmer in the corner of Shaham's eye, flickered in existence. Then it vanished. Sarah cried out, clutching Marcus' arm. "Did you see that? Little girl in faded dress." Marcus saw once as speechless, his pale face. Pale. This isn't just an abandoned building, is it? This is just an abandoned building, isn't it? They stumbled back into the corridor, shaken. The rocking horse continued with its mournful rhythm behind them. Chloe's audio recorder suddenly emitted a cacophony of whispers, overlapping instinct yet filled with undiable agony. "Get out. Leave it. It hurts." We need to find the registry of offices," Liam declared, trying to protect the calm he didn't feel. "Maybe they are records, something that explains why this place is so alive." He believed that understanding the history was their best defence. Joining the office was a gauntlet. Hypertherapy room claw marks appeared on the conversation street walls. Combat sounds desperate splashing. Come room, a phantom piano played its dolt, mournful lullaby. Marcus swore he saw shadows writhe and caress into gaunt faces, the periphery of his vision. Sarah, losing her scientific composure, began to openly pray. They finally located the superintendent's office, a remarkable preserved space compared to the rest of the asylum. A grand desk dominated the room, covered in thick layer of dust. The end's light fell upon the leather-bound journal, oddly pristine, sitting on top of the desk. He reached for it, a strange compulsion driving him. As his fingers brushed the aged leather, temperature in the room plummeted. Lights and their headlights flickered wildly, threatening to die again. Low grunt or growl broke through the floorboards. "Don't touch it," Cleo Lars shrieked. A camera lens suddenly filled with static. It's too late. The embodied opened his journal. First page bore name, Dr. Silas Fawn. The date, 1918. He began to read it aloud, his voice trembling. "The persuasions of poor Blackwood are not merely ill, their vessels of purity. By divine duty cleanse them. Conventional methods fail. Though profoundly sensory to preparation, through severing of the minds of current errant connections, can purely be achieved." As they even read the very AF around their men intensified, whispering closed recorder turned in screams, so engrossed, building itself seeming to construct around them. A heavy metal door slammed shut. Down the hall, followed by another, then another, setting off their path back to the entrance. "You're talking about lobotomies, electroshock, torture," Sarah exclaimed, horror dawning on her face. "He wasn't treating them, destroying them." Marcus looked frantic, tried to open the office door, but it was jammed. "We're trapped, the doors are locking." Ian flipped through the journal, his eyes scanning feverishly. He found entry after entry, detailing the descent into madness, experiments growing crueler, more sadistic. He wrote a specific patient, Alara Clavalis, a young artist introduced to hysteria, whom he targeted for a particular fervor, believing her crazy spirit was a manufactured purity. Her final entry was chilling. Alara's resist, but her spirit will break. She will be a testament to her ultimate triumph. As Liam read, finished reading, Lara's entry, a chilling triumphant crackle, echoed from the corners of the office, cold and malevolent, not a stunned patient, but Dr. Thorne's presence. Only a terrifying apparition materialised before them, gaunt skeletal figure in a stained white coat, lab coat, his eyes burning with satanic fire. He lunged towards the journal in Liam's hands. "Trying to stop us," Cleo screamed, her camera now inexplicably clear. "Put it directly in the preparation. Doesn't want any secrets exposed. You need to get this out, Sarah shouted, grabbing the journal. "We need to expose him. Give those poor souls justice." So I responded with a voice roar. Seeing him above them crackled, showering them with plaster. Very walls pulsed with dark energy. Marcus, seeing a small boarded up window high in the wall, sprang into action using poor skills to scale a stack of unstable shelves. "Gretchen, ready to throw it," he yelled, kicking the rotten wood. Spectral doctor, screaming silent curses, lunged again, its translucent hands, reaching Sarah. Just then, a wave of angry spirits rose to the floor, swirling around Fawn, accepting him. They had patience, funny strength, and the hope of exposure. Liam remembered an old emergency broadcast system, cinematic. He seemingly pointed to a dusty console-like device in the corner. "Claire, the PA system. We connect your camera. We can broadcast this to the outside." Claire, hands shaking, fumbled with the cable. Marcus finally kicked through the window, revealing a narrow, ivy-choked ledge outside. "Hurry," he yelled. Full spirit temporarily laid, held at bay by the other patients, turned forward with renewed fury. The asylum itself seemed to twist, the floor crackling beneath them. The exit door they hoped to use now completely caved in. "It shows," Sarah cried. "It knows," Sarah cried, holding the journal tightly. "It wants us to keep us here. keep its secrets buried. Slowly, you find a desperate push, slam the camera's auxiliary cable, PA systems import. First, a static rip through the asylum's ancient speakers, then the Chloe's voice, identified, terrified, filled every corner of Blackmoor. This is Chloe Miller, live from Blackmoor Asylum. We have found evidence of journal detailing speak of horrors, crimes of Dr. Salius Fawn. Tortured his parents, he murdered them, his spirit is still here, trying to silence us. Fawn's shriek of agony was unholy. Anthony conceded a monstrous, distorted parody of human, a lunge. But as Chloe's voice echoed, perfectly, a chorus of ghostly whispers rose to meet it, growing stronger, clearer, finally free, breaking free. They were the voice of the victims, given form by the truth. Like parents, the spirits here, they all are. Their pain is real. They need justice. We need to have the proof. Asylum bucked and groaned and tearing itself apart. See him again to collapse in earnest. Marcus grabbed Sarah, pulling her towards the broken window. Liam snatched the journal, clutching it to his chest. Go, get out, I follow. Chloe screamed, a voice to echoing through the PA system, intermingling with liberated, vengeful cries of the spirit. Scrambling on the ledge, debris raining down for behind them. Marcus helped Sarah climb down the ivy-covered wall. Liam, just as Chloe turned to follow, saw the floor beneath her buckle. He grabbed her arm, pulling her back just as the PA system spark exploded. The floor gave way, swallowing the superintendent's office. A feel tumbling through darkness, landing hard on a pile of rubble, previously unseen maintenance tunnel beneath the asylum. Liam coughed, dust filling his lungs, but he clutched the journal. Chloe groaned, her camera still in hand, miraculously intact, though offline. Above them, his asylum continued in terrible collapse, final gruntful roar of defeat and fury. He emerged in the moonlight woods, battered, bruised and trembling, but alive. Blackwood asylum, a gaping wound in the earth, stood silent behind them. Secrets lay bare, beloved presence perhaps finally shattered. He didn't speak as he walked, the terror still fresh, the echoes of screams still in their ears, but he had the journal. They heard Chloe's footage. The voice of Blackwood had finally been heard. As they drove away, Sarah swore she saw a faint white light flicker the remains of the asylum. Like a grateful sigh, a final glowing glance. They were out. Blackwood's asylum would forever be part of them.